Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to AnCast. I'm Zach Berti. Jacob's here.
Hey folks.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Yourself?
Pretty good. Got the season started here. Spring has sprung.
It sprung pretty fast. Like all the premieres are already out and it's been like less than a week.
Yeah, so there was like a 20%, 20 or 30%?
I heard 20, but yeah.
20%, well we reported 20, I think.
Mm-hmm.
20% reduction in production.
Mm-hmm.
Which rhymes.
Yes.
And we certainly felt it because mm-hmm. last week we were supposed to start on the first and like we have sponsors for these things mm-hmm. and they're like, well, when do you think it starts? And I'm like, probably on the first.
Which and
nine times out of ten it starts on the first.
Yeah,
this time not only it
barely started on the fourth.
It barely started on the second. There mm-hmm. was a show that aired on the second that we could start with.
Uh-huh.
The only other thing that aired was like Ace of the Diamond season two, which
that
is actually season three.
That is the thing to which you're referring to.
And You Know aired on the same day.
Oh, I thought You Know was like on the fourth.
No, that was on the second.
Okay.
So, it didn't really, like, it started sort of trickling out on the second, and then it didn't really go into full swing until Friday
mm-hmm.
when Fruits Basket aired, and then 5 days after that, it was basically done.
Yeah.
We're taping this on Thursday afternoon, evening, after Sarah's On My aired, and then tomorrow's Bungo Stray Dogs, and then, like, in a couple weeks, it's Attack on Titan.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
The
ratio of good stuff is not different.
That's the thing. So I went through and sort of looked at our data, and in terms of like the amount of shows airing, frankly, I'm glad it's cut down. We didn't need that many to begin with, but like in terms of like what people are interested in, like the number of things that are highly rated, highly trafficked, people are talking about, it is the same, if not more so than like last season. And it's the same for an average season. It's about the same as fall in terms of things people actually really give a shit about. However, the number of total shows is lower, which means we only lost things no one cares about anyway. Like there's only so much staff to go around on these projects and make them look good. Like,
well, you don't really know that. Like,
no,
it could have been
some
really promising thing that didn't get made. I don't know, whatever.
There's too much anime produced in general, like just a little. There's been a glut.
Yeah,
and this seemed like the right amount. You know, you could do even less than this maybe, but like, you know, the glut of content being trimmed down and not losing any of the stuff that people actually care about is, in terms of the number of things that comes out a season that are particularly impressive or catch a lot of attention, that number hasn't changed. So for me, it's fine, you know.
I think my big question is, did the reduction in production, the production reduction as it's referred to,
mm-hmm.
Result in anything resembling even slightly nicer work conditions for anybody?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yes or no? Probably no. Sadly, the answer to that question is probably no.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Anyway. Before we do that, it has been a little bit, so I kind of wanted to get your take on some movies.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, chiefly, like, so a few weeks ago, I had Lindsay on, and we were talking about Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned, I was like, oh, Jacob hated this movie, like...
I hated that movie.
Way more than I
don't know
like
that I should go into detail on why, because it's not even... It's not like I hated it because it was special. I hated it because it wasn't special.
You said you thought it was easily the you thought it was easily the worst Marvel movie, but then you're like, well,
I walked it back and I said maybe it's the second worst.
But I feel like most people probably wouldn't say that.
No, maybe not.
I guess I'm just curious, like, specifically what about it seemed like it was the second worst.
Well, okay, to not go into to too much
detail. No, let's spend an hour talking about it.
No, I don't even want to. I don't think it deserves to be talked about for an hour by anyone, to be honest with you.
So
that's how I feel about it. Captain Marvel was like the most, it felt like a fucking like Ladies Bic commercial. It was it's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up, like an inspirational poster on a wall with no character
or art to it.
It didn't look. The first act, before we get to the period setting, before we get to remember the 90s two-thirds of the film, the first, like, 20% or so of the movie, the first maybe fourth, is, like, it looked like Doctor Who. It didn't look good. Like, the production design.
It did not look like Doctor Who.
It did, too. I've seen the inside of the, like, TARDIS during the David Tennant season.
It looked like Kevin
Sorbo's
Andromeda.
Yeah, sure.
Look like... Previously on Babylon 5.
Maybe a more expensive Doctor Who, but it was... the production design was weak, and it was just like... The whole movie was like this hollow exercise in... I don't know. It was like a script that was written by a corporation. It just felt so empty. And that in by itself is kind of a problem. But also, I thought the central acting performance was, and pretty much all the acting performances in this, except for Sam Jackson, who's just kind of falling back on his shtick that works. Like, people enjoy it when Sam Jackson is just playing this archetype that he's adopted, you know, this badass motherfucker sort of thing. People like that, but it's not necessarily anything new. And the rest of the acting performances were, like, mediocre to, like, shitty. I thought Brie Larson was, like, a charisma void. Like, she didn't seem like a person ever at all. Her reads on all the lines were, like, weird and bad. She didn't seem like she had any emotional connection to anything. It was just shitty. And, like, it's funny because we saw this, like, with Wonder Woman. People were talking about they saw Gal Gadot briefly in Batman versus Superman. She wasn't very good or whatever. And in Wonder Woman, she has this wonderfully, like, approachable, sweet, but still, like, heroic charisma to her. Like, you feel it. You're like, oh, I can understand why people would fall in love with Wonder Woman when she comes to Earth in the 1940s, or comes to the Britain in the 1940s. But Brie Larson was just like, shut up. Like, she's just not likable at all. And so
felt like they were using rehearsal takes.
It felt like they were using rehearsal takes. Anyway, honestly, the reasons why I dislike Captain Marvel are not particularly like, oh, here's the things it did wrong. It's just like, this doesn't even feel like a piece of art to me. It feels like a commercial. It felt like a commercial, and I didn't
want it. For the Air Force.
That's the other thing. There's this weird pro-military angle to it that made me squeamish. I was like, what the fuck is this? What is this join the, like, noble armed forces sort of, like, flavor that's pasted on top of it? I did not like
that.
That's
where she gets the colors for her uniform from. The little girl points to the Air Force logo on her t-shirt. Yep. She's like, yeah, I'll use that.
Yeah, maybe that's in the comics. I don't know. Maybe that's in the comics.
No,
I don't know. Maybe
it's
a coincidence. That's not where she gets her outfit from.
I don't know.
I've never read them, so I can't say. All I know is the thing that they made was like, oh, and the little girl's performance, like, really, like, cringy, bad, like, little kid acting that's extremely fake. Like, Hallmark Channel level bad little kid acting. Ugh, yeah. I just saw Shazam. That has great little kid acting in it. This movie, Captain Marvel.
I didn't think that had great little kid acting in it.
Good enough. It was very believable.
It was all right.
It was, and the parts that weren't believable were cute and funny.
You liked Shazam a lot.
I liked Shazam a lot.
Conversely,
yeah.
Now, I did not like Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. I would probably put it in a bottom five Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. But I would, well... See, so the tough question on that one, which I think I was talking to you about that... What's worse, Captain Marvel or Age of Ultron? Or which one would, if gun to your head, mm-hmm. say like someone holds a gun to your head, the barrel is to your temple, and they're like, you have to watch either Avengers Age of Ultron or Captain Marvel. Pick one.
Well, the first question...
Now, I don't know what this is supposed to accomplish for the person
putting
you through it.
But the first question that you ask
which one is shorter?
And because they are equally...
It's a negligible difference, I think.
There's a very negligible difference in quality between them. But if I had to go purely by quality, I would say Age of Ultron is better than Captain Marvel because there were characters in it that I cared about giving performances that are decent. Which I cannot say for Captain Marvel.
She's a monster because she can't have babies.
It's terrible. Look, I don't like Age of Ultron.
Remember that?
It's in
Black
a bottom
Widow's
five.
Like, it's me, I'm the monster.
Age of Ultron... It's terrible. Age of Ultron is probably the third worst. Like, these are kissing cousins, but I barely might give the edge to Ultron unless it is significantly longer than Captain Marvel, and then I'm going to go on runtime.
But you did really, you like loved Shazam.
I really dug Shazam.
And
it
Dumbo.
Felt like a throw. No. No, no. Okay. Dumbo's not even worth discussing. Can we agree?
Can You're
we
like, agree can we Dumbo's- please not talk about Dumbo?
No. I saw that out of obligation, and there's nothing worth.
There's nothing
there's
to
not
say
a word
about it.
Worth sharing about
there's
how
nothing to say
it is.
About Dumbo. Don't watch it.
Somebody brings up that it was made to
I don't
retain.
Have to tell you not to watch it. Actually, you won't listen to me. It'll be on like Netflix or Disney Plus. You'll be like, meh, turn it on. You'll fall asleep in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. You'll see it in the back seat, the seat back entertainment. You'll flip past it because there's
well,
something
somebody brought up
seen
that,
that yeah. you're willing to watch again instead of drab Tim
Well, Burton. Somebody brought up that the reason that they chose Dumbo was to retain the copyright.
Okay, you know, or,
that
they,
makes sense.
Or Tim Burton was available and they were like, hey.
But why Dumbo? I'm just saying Dumbo is like, no one cares about Dumbo.
Like, oh, I can do my Twisted Circus.
Sure, yeah.
Calliope music.
It was real shitty, though.
It was fucking terrible.
Anyway, like, I don't remember what point we were getting to, but Shazam is great, so go Shazam. It's, like, easily
the best. I would give Shazam, like, a B.
I would give it a B. I would give it a B+.
I think you're more on an A-.
No,
review doesn't match the score on this one.
No, it just made me happy. My enthusiasm is not because I think it's an amazing movie. My enthusiasm is it just made me happy, and there aren't a lot of big summer movies that are doing that. Everybody's in a, like a dirge and a, like, oh, dark superheroes. And like Shazam is like, if your kid's at least 10 years old, you can take him to see it. It's like, it's a little edgy, and it's like, all right, you know, you're 10 or 11, so this is going to have some naughty stuff in it. But like, it's that level of like family-friendly, like sort of rejuvenating thing that doesn't feel treacly. It feels kind of, it feels like just cynical enough to where it's like winking at the older members of the audience, but it's not gross, slimy, too old, like too faux mature for its audience. It's not doing the weird frat boy thing that the other DC movies for the most part have done, except Wonder Woman, which was just a little more generic, but at least had a lot of positive qualities. Shazam just feels like it has a spirit all its own, which is like sort of a throwback 80s, 90s family movie when like the kids would say shit in the movie and get beat up and things like that. So it's like sort of throwback, slightly edgy family movie. And I dug it. It made me happy. It was funny. So it's not amazing. I just like was happy to see a movie like it having been made.
It felt like DC Comics' stab at making like Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming has a wholesomeness to it.
I
and
like
a
Spider-Man
polish.
Homecoming more than Shazam, and they felt like very similar films.
They are. I would say they're about equal in quality, not tone or execution or like style or anything. They're completely different in those regards, but I would say in quality.
Style's a little similar.
I can't go with you there. Like Spider-Man
the
Homecoming.
The end credits are like exactly the same.
Spider-Man Homecoming is extremely modern. Like it is very, like a good version of like modern Marvel, Disney, sensibilities, whereas Shazam did feel like a weird sort of throwbacky kind
of. Not really to me, not really.
It felt pretty throwbacky to me. Like, you don't see movies like that where it's an all-kid cast, but they're acting in a way that you don't get kids acting in movies that are aimed at children. Does that make sense?
I don't agree with you on that.
I thought it was good.
I thought the kid actors were kid acting like that.
Sure.
Much.
It was a good movie. I dug it.
Yeah,
I dug it.
It,
yeah.
I thought it was good.
And you have to bring up like Zachary Levi, who plays the lead in that. I mean, sort of. You know, he plays the grown up version of Shazam. Like, he does a really good job. You are never at any time. You don't at any time feel like Zachary Levi is an adult. He does a really good job, sort of channeling the exact energy of like a 14-year-old boy. Specifically, like that age, it feels very like innocent, but not. I don't know. He just feels the exact age of 14, which is probably not easy to do, so it really carries the movie, too.
Yeah. Well, at least it was good. It was probably the best DC thing. Like, Wonder Woman was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly enjoyed Shazam more.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was kind of...
Wonder Woman's got some dreary moments and some...
A lot of it's dull.
A lot of it is dull. Like,
I don't care about the romance subplot.
No, the high points of Wonder Woman are nice, but there's a lot of drudgery in between. Shazam is entertaining all the way through, barring some, like, hey, the third act is too long.
Except for the third act.
Well, the third act is too long is just every superhero movie. And I didn't want...
That doesn't excuse it here. It drags.
I saw it, man, get this over with. I saw it twice. I saw it a second time. And the third act actually didn't drag as bad the second time because I picked up on things that I picked up on the first time.
I think that movie could lose 30 minutes.
Yeah, a lot of movies could lose 30 minutes. Absolutely. I think most movies...
All right, we got the Shazam Defense Force over
here. Well, no,
here.
It's just I think most movies that are like over 2 hours could probably be fine in 100 minutes. Like,
oh, like Walt Disney
majority.
Pictures Dumbo?
No.
Directed by Tim Burton?
That movie needs to be 0 minutes.
That movie needs to be negative.
Negative minutes. It needs to not exist. All right. But yeah, that's the recent blockbuster rundown.
That movie was like an hour and 53 minutes, and it felt like 6 hours long.
It's agonizing. Anyway.
You know what I can't wait for, though? The live-action, quote-unquote, live-action Lion King.
Wow.
There's a new trailer. Mm. It's literally just exactly recreated shots
with
their
shitty,
movie.
Hyper-realistic scar that doesn't
the
look like...
The same shots. Yeah. There's not a single... There's like, I've never seen the stage version of The Lion King, mm-hmm. weirdly, because I've seen that movie a billion times.
Right.
I've never seen the stage version. There's not a single shot in that trailer that has anything from that musical. It's all just from the movie.
Well, why would it? It's all stylized.
You would think there would be anything that I didn't immediately recognize from the film, like any shot at all.
I don't know.
The
teaser
Aladdin
was
trailer
just...
has shit in it where you're like, I don't know what scene this is.
Well, yeah, because they can't... Okay, so here's the difference.
Because there's new stuff in it.
Because when
there's
they...
new material.
When they make live action... So first of all, The Lion King is the most... commercially and critically successful of the movies that they have done
until there's live action Frozen. Yes,
yes, and
that's coming.
But here's the thing: so with all these other movies, Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast, and stuff like that, like it is to some extent live action. Like it is actually live action to some extent.
Oh, this
Lion King is literally another animated movie. It's just animated with hyper realistic animal models.
That observation I think has been made on this show.
Yeah,
before.
but it's not. I'm not making that observation in and of itself. I'm sort of using it to segue into the observation that so therefore they can actually recreate all of those shots exactly, and it won't seem odd. But it will seem more like weird that it's going to seem weird. Like how are they going to do? I just can't wait to be king. How are they even going to do that?
We'll see.
Because are they going to stylize it at all? What kind of
Probably.
Weird nightmare is this going to be? But
if they don't, and he's just like running around in like a fucking puddle in the middle of the savannah,
yeah,
there's a rhinoceros or something. No, he'll be jumping around on shit. The weird thing to me is the trailer. You only see him singing from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see it up close when the characters are singing. Those hyper-real animal mouths are singing
I think they're
a
still
song.
Working on it, yeah. Maybe they're still working on it.
You see it from a distance during that Kuna Matata thing, but I think that's going to be the... Yeah. Anyway, all right. Can't wait for it to come out, so I shut up about it.
Well, in terms of movies that, rather than stuff we saw in theaters, I saw a movie this week to talk about on the podcast that I was... I didn't really know if it was going to be terribly discussable or not, but like I actually came away from this movie with a lot to talk about. Penguin Highway.
You're right. I haven't seen it
yet.
Yeah. We have a review already on the site.
Mm-hmm. The review intrigued me because it was written by, I believe, Callum May, right? I believe
no,
wrote about
Kim,
him.
That review.
Okay, it was Kim. So, but I remember the review mentioning, like, oh, I wish there were more penguins in it because it's actually kind of a weird, like, thoughtful, pseudo-magical realism sci-fi thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell? So I was curious to see this movie. And having watched it, so it's written, is based on a novel by Tomohiko Morimi, which people know him from his previous works, like The Night is Short, Walk on Girl, and The Eccentric Family, and Tatami Galaxy, and he's that novelist, right? And so this is supposed to be, I thought maybe it was going to be like, oh, he wrote a novel for kids, but this movie is not for children. It doesn't, it's kid appropriate. However, the themes in it are not anything a kid is going to get at all. So it's like, but the funniest, my biggest takeaway from watching it was like, oh, this is like if Mirai was good. Because it's kind of a similar premise, which is to say, like, it's about this like 9-year-old boy who's like extremely precocious, like he's one of those like super intelligent, super curious, never shuts his yap like kids who's just thinks he has everything figured out and is constantly mouthing off to everybody and saying like that's not how this is. Like he's like one of those nerdy kids,
mm-hmm.
And it's basically about him discovering the difference between his understanding of the world and like, oh, you can discover everything with the scientific method and that kind of thing. And like coming to grips with the emotions that you feel when you come to an understanding of like mortality and loss and entropy and stuff like that. And that he can't solve those feelings with the scientific method exactly, but he tries. And it's basically like a coming of age story or like a kid discovering Memento Mori and discovering loss and Mononoke Aware and stuff like that, but it's a kid who's like, either he's maybe on, it's not really made clear if he's on the spectrum or if he's just really, really out of touch with his emotions, but he's like a very precocious, cerebral kid who doesn't understand his own feelings and is bad at reading the feelings of others, having to come to grips with some really, really harsh emotional stuff. But it's all done in this like treacly, whimsical. Basically, the whole time I was watching this movie, I was thinking like, there is no reason that this movie should work, and yet it does. It's just a really, really carefully crafted emotional metaphor that, in breaking some rules that I thought like, okay, these are rules that you shouldn't really break in a movie unless you're a really, really good writer. It's also literal. So it's an emotional metaphor, but it is also literally happening. It has consequences on real people in the world. It's a little bit metaphorized as like a natural disaster or a tsunami or an earthquake or something like that. So it is actually happening, but it's mostly just a metaphor for this kid coming to terms with what death is for the first time. And it worked. It was really good and interesting, but it's definitely not the kind of movie you can kind of just, it's not like a feel-good movie. It looks and sounds like a feel-good movie. It has tons of fun slapstick comedy and a really like cuddly sort of coloring book style of animation from Studio Colorido, who adapted it, but it is a meditative sort of like a quiet, ponderous, thoughtful story in the end. And so I would say give it a chance if that sounds interesting to you, but I can see this one being I can see this one leaving people a little cold, because it is asking you to think about this stuff not very literally, even though it is also in a story where it's supposedly actually happening. So, yeah, Penguin Highway. Check it out if there's a theater near you showing it. I thought it was really interesting. If you like sci-fi, speculative kind of stuff that's like metaphors for emotions, definitely check it out.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I think I have a screener floating around somewhere or something like that.
Yeah, but I compared it to...
It's in theaters. It's getting like a really limited theatrical thing, I think.
Yeah. I compared it to Mirai specifically because in Mirai, it's like this weird magical realism emotional metaphor that he's like trying to convey to his little like son, who's way too young to understand this stuff. And the kid in Penguin Highway is 9 or 10, so he's an age where it makes sense for him to begin processing this stuff this way, not 4 years old, you know. So, and also the emotional metaphor is really straightforward and simple. It's not like a crazy like here's 12 different fantastical set pieces that are supposed to convey like a wealth of a man in his 40s knowledge to a 4-year old. It's like no, it's just one kid coming to an emotional understanding of one sad, scary thing about the universe. That's it. You know, so it's nice.
Yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds, that's not what I was expecting, certainly.
No, me neither. I was like, what's this movie about?
When you said, I didn't know it was written by the Night of Short Walk on Girl guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy's having a lot of his stuff.
He's
adapted.
Having a lot of stuff, yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, did you see the trailer for the new Shinkai movie?
I did not.
Well, if I told you that it started with a hyper-detailed background of Tokyo and then someone leaning their head against the subway window while raindrops fall on it, and then it's two middle school-age-looking teenage-type kids running towards each other on grassy hills with weather effects and lens flares.
Are there,
like,
are there straight lines on the horizon that converge between the two?
So, in other words, if you took this trailer and took the title off of it, which is called, like, Weathering With You or something like that, mm-hmm. and just put your name over it, I would be like, the character designs look a little different from what I remember. Otherwise, it looks like the same fucking movie. Anyway,
well, I don't
sure
know why.
Good.
I don't know.
I'm sure, it's fine. It's just the trailer. It's like, there's a Radwimps song playing.
Why
it's
in the
exactly
world?
Like your name.
Why in the world would you be surprised about Makoto Shinkai making the same movie again? He has done it like 6 or 7
That's
times
true.
By now.
He'll be like,
he has not made
configuration.
And when he has tried to make a different kind of movie, we got that Ghibli ripoff he made that was fucking the worst thing he's made.
Oh, that Children Who Chase Lost Voices.
Children Who Chase Lost Voices. So let him make the same movie over and over.
Origins.
He eventually
of the
made
Earth.
Your name. On the other hand, now that he's made Your Name, has he perfected it? And when he tries to make it again, it's going to be like, oh no, sorry, like you have to learn, you have to find another story to make, because after a decade or two you made the best version of it with Your Name. Stop repeating yourself. You finally made the really, really good version of that movie. So I don't know, we'll see, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it, like, I'm being kind of facetious. Like, I'm sure it's fine. Mm-hmm. I just laughed. Like, I have no idea what the story is, but it's probably
I do. I could probably tell you exactly what the story is because I've seen him tell it 4 or 5 times. I've seen all of Jinkai's work, and
so
it's like
something's keeping these two apart.
The Garden of Words was the most like the Garden of Words, not counting the Ghibli one, which was shitty. The Garden of Words is like the one that's like not bad. That's the most different, and it's still not that different. Like, he just makes the same story over and over again, and it's fine. It's fine.
Can these two gently overcome their...
Gently.
Overcome their whatever it is. Anyway, yeah, so that's out. I'm sure... I wonder how that's going to do. It depends on the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
If he knocks it out of the park again, maybe he will.
Right.
Maybe he'll knock it out. Maybe people will be like, this time watching two teenagers run towards each other on a grassy field with a giant, really beautiful cloudscape behind them while the lens full of sunsets is... just as good as the last time I saw two teenagers run towards each other.
Right.
All right. So there's a whole season of anime.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, about 80% of a regular season of anime, based on what we're used to.
That's all right.
No, that's
it
totally
makes me
fine.
Happy. Yeah.
Let's get started. There is a bunch of stuff. So I tell you what. Normally, the way we do this is I just talk. I like sort of go because you've watched literally everything, right?
Yes, I'm all caught up.
Okay, I have seen probably half of the stuff,
mm-hmm.
so I'm just gonna go through the stuff I've seen, and we'll get through it all. So the first thing I watched was Fruits Basket.
Saw
Froob, as it's known around here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's Froob or Fru with an umlaut.
Now on Fridays, we have to turn on the Froob tube.
Yeah. Friday Froobin.
Friday Froob tube. What were you saying?
I'm gonna make it a thing at some point. you saw the first two episodes of it and filed a report a few days before.
Mm-hmm. Filed a report. So formal.
Yeah.
Through my like open mouth weeping, I composed words about the show.
That show is gorgeous.
I'm so happy it's pretty. It's so weird. This was announced 4 months ago that this was happening, and it looks like that, and it's going to run for like 50 episodes, admittedly with breaks, but like how long were they sitting on that secret? I assume a long time because the republication, the like republishing the whole run with special author commentary thing that happened for the manga was like a year or so ago. So maybe they were like, we can produce this to coincide, and maybe it got pushed back. I don't know, but like
it seems like
the time between announcement and airing was really short, given how nice this show looks.
It seems like if you're a fan of this manga, this is basically what you've been waiting for.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I was like, I'm so happy.
Yeah. I've read the first couple volumes of the re-release at this point. So I'm into it, I'm invested, I'm going to watch it. It's gorgeous, looks great, it's obviously like the top thing the season, I think. Like, mm-hmm.
Well, that and, we'll get to the other thing. That and UFO Tables, Shonen Jump.
Yeah, those are kind of the two, UFO Tables, Shonen Jump, Demon Slayer show. It's weird because like we've talked about Fruits Basket a lot on the show, so there's not that much to say. It's the first episode of Fruits Basket, the first chapter.
Yeah, you've heard it before, probably, and if you haven't, then you need to watch it now.
I was just impressed with how it looked. I thought it was a really good spit shine because those were some old-ass shoujo visuals, and they made it look modern. It looks
definitely
nice.
Yeah.
It looks really good. Cool. Well, we have that to look forward to for like a year.
There's no reason for me to say even one more word about Fruba on this podcast because you're going to hear me fucking yell about it all season.
Yeah, so. Jacob is reviewing it for the site, so you'll have his episode reviews every week of Fruba as long as it runs. See, I did watch Demon Slayer, which is based on from the pages of Weekly Shonen Jump.
Yeah,
if you can't tell,
mm-hmm. This
kid,
one's dark.
Little kids start. Yeah. It's super dark. Mm-hmm. Little kid's starting village gets burned down. Sister gets turned into a demon.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to deal with this? What a dark situation I'm in. I'm going to have to traverse a hostile Japanese warring states period or whenever this is supposed to take place.
This is actually around the time of... it's like a little before the time of Golden Kamuy, so it's like turn of the century, actually.
Oh, so like... So there's wandering
early 1900s.
There's wandering samurai with nothing to do, that kind of thing.
All the samurai are out of a job.
There's a lot of shows that take place during this historically violent time.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like this. It's like ennui and the 1910s. That's what it is. It's the 1910s. Exactly when is it? Okay. It's a time of transition, basically. It's before the militarization, the heavy militarization of Japan.
Yep. And this kid with his character design has a demon sister. And it's really well animated.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great.
And by demon, you mean like vampire. These are straight up fucking vampires.
They're
vampires that can do like yokai things sometimes, but it's which I liked about it. I was like, oh, this is kind of like vampire fiction set in this interesting time period. So it's like a mash. It's like two more stereotypical genre things that are mashed together in a way I haven't seen before. So I dug that angle.
How many episodes is it supposed to be?
It's just going to be one cure, I think.
One cure.
And I've seen the first half of the season because there was a premiere
They showed five episodes of this thing.
Yeah.
It was a Japan Society or something
mm-hmm.
downtown. And so it gets better, you said.
It gets better and better as it goes.
Because I thought it was fine,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't like, mm-hmm. wow.
It's paced. So UFO Table's production on it, just in the next four episodes, UFO Table's production on the show is great. I know a lot of people were like, oh, it's pretty, but nothing jaw-dropping. Your jaw will drop in episodes three or four, I think, were some of the most stellar action sequences and stuff like that. But also it's just like, it's just paced nice and quickly. It's like, here is a facsimile of a shonen training arc. Okay, it's done. Here's a facsimile of a shonen, like, first exam, first culling. And it's one episode. So it just goes through all that stuff very quickly, which is good because the shonen jump elements are my least favorite part of it. But I like the characters. I like its sort of fundamental empathy mixed. I like empathy mixed with blood and gore. It's an aesthetic I can get behind. And that's what this is. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know what's cool is the closing sequence with all that cool animation.
That's the sword techniques he learns. He does that all the time.
It looks neat.
It's great. You can tell it's CGI. Don't know what we're talking about. When he swings a sword and does these special sword techniques, these like painterly, water. How do I describe it? Like, what's that painting? It looks like that painting. You know what I'm talking about? The tsunami
watercolor.
No, the famous painting of the tsunami wave.
Oh, yeah. The Great Wave?
Yes.
Great Wave?
It looks like the Great Wave. So when he swings his sword,
that's just a woodblock style thing.
It looks... Okay, you know what it looks like?
That's what everyone associates it with.
Here's what it looks like. It looks like Okami. It looks like Okami for the PS2. So,
woodblock.
Yes. Yeah. And it's great. But that's
calligraphy.
Not... Yeah, that's not just on the opening theme. Later, there's going to be fight sequences where he's doing that, and the CG is mixed with the traditional animation really well. I think UFO Table is right on the edge of the best-looking digital effects integration in anime, especially television anime. So, it's definitely going to be a visual treat, and the story is pretty good. It's like above-average Shonen Jump.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I will probably watch that just because it goes down smooth, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it's easy to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I might not be excited about that, but that is the sort of thing I'll be like, okay, sure. You know?
It goes places. Like, you're going to be in a different environment with different characters in, like, every episode. It's just very engaging.
Cool. Okay, Mix is what I watched next. It is the
It's like late sequel to Touch.
The ancestors of the people in Touch.
You mean the descent? Yeah, it's not
the
literally
ancestors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 500 years later.
500.
Baseball rules the earth.
Yeah, no, it's I'm not familiar with Adachi's manga, so I watched it just to say that I could watch it, and then I just turned off my brain because I'm like, I can't possibly care about this. I'll just have to watch like Touch at some point.
I've seen a bunch of Touch
because this isn't,
and I was able to put some stuff together. You don't have to have seen it. I like the guy's designs. I'm glad they keep adapting it, but it's very much for... Because that stuff is so much more popular in Japan than
it is
here.
Oh, it's huge over there.
So, I'm not going to watch that. I don't really know exactly what's going on in it. Mm. But it looked nice, and that's the kind of thing where I wish I was a big fan of Adachi stuff.
Well, it's more...
Touch was good.
Mostly what
Cross Game was pretty good, too. I only read a little bit of it, though. I never mm-hmm. really commit to his stuff. I should commit.
Well, mostly what... It wasn't that it was like
those
bad.
Movies were good.
It wasn't that it was bad or uninteresting, although it was a little uninteresting, but that's just because it gets off to a slow start. It was just like, oh, I'm watching like the newest effort from a guy who's renowned for these other, like these are considered legendary baseball manga, and this one's probably not going to be that. It's just kind of what he's worked on recently. So I feel like, oh, I'm not going to watch Mix. I'm just going to at some point watch Cross Game or Touch.
Well, Touch, there's
and
a series event, of
movies. If I loved those, then I'll watch Mix, but not before.
With Touch, you can watch the movies and kind of skip the TV show, just saying.
Oh, well,
there's three movies.
In some form.
There's, it's like Gundam. You can watch the trilogy of movies and kind of get the gist.
Well, that's probably what I'll do then.
But, yeah, I gave it a shot anyway, because if it grabbed me and I was like, oh, okay, fine, I'm going to watch this Adachi thing. Mm-hmm. But it didn't, so, you know, it's all right. It looked good, though. Mm-hmm. I like those designs. I did watch We Never Learn Bokuben. I don't know why. Generic ass. Can't believe these two hot ladies need me for something. Hope their boobs don't touch me.
I like the show. I like the show way better when it's called the quintessential quintuplets, and that show was pretty mediocre.
Or like
too.
Any one of like a dozen, two dozen, three dozen, four dozen other shows exactly.
Well,
like
yeah,
it.
But like I mentioned Quints from last season because in Quints the characters like made sense and had layers, and they seemed kind of like the setup. Like the premise is a little silly in that it's one guy tutoring these five hot girls or whatever, but they all acted like real people, and the comedy was kind of low-key. It was nice. It's just a nice little harem show. This feels like everybody's just, like, the main character is this blank milquetoast guy, like they all are. And then the two leading ladies are, like, tsundere stereotype and, like, airhead stereotype.
Geniuses who are dumb.
And they're geniuses who are dumb, like, to a way that's not human. So, like, I'm like, okay, if it's going to be a rom-com where I have to care about the romance aspect, they have to seem, like, people-ish a little bit, and this is too over the top. Like, it's too far separated from anything.
I'm such a math girl that I can't figure out basic feelings. Like, I'm such a feelings girl that I can't figure
out
basic
math. It's too much. It's too much of an exaggeration to where it's like, oh, this is just stupid, you know?
It should just be like left brain Chan and right brain Chan.
Yeah, they might as well just be disambiguated moe mascots rather
just
than
half of a brain floating there.
Yeah,
like,
I symbolize
one,
this.
One has bigger boobs than the other, but that's kind of the only. And there's different hair color, but
they're
that's the only difference.
They're Gajinka for
with some boobs on it.
They're Gajinka for the concept of your left and right lobes.
Yeah.
Like, that's, they're not characters, they're, like, they're marketed Gajinka for this concept. Like, oh, okay, you know, whatever.
I watched Kono Oto Tomare, the sort of BL-ish, BL-flavored.
I didn't think BL, but I see what you mean.
Who else is it for?
It's a light sprinkling. Well,
otherwise it's just a kind of a nothing drama. Like,
it's just a club.
He's
going to
start the Kodo. It's the Kodo Club, mm-hmm. which is a Japanese instrument that you would recognize if you heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But
have you seen it?
Because
it's big
club.
As fuck.
It's not a pie, yeah, it's huge.
It's a giant instrument.
There's a couple of them in the Japanese National Museum that I've seen. Kid nerd wants to reopen the Kodo Club because it meant something to his dad. Is that his dad that makes Kodo? No, the other kid.
That was the delinquent.
There's a delinquent who saves him from being bullied by kids who've taken over the Kodo Club.
You're right, it is a little BL-y. Yeah,
I don't think it's a little BL. I think it's not like over the top or anything, but like obviously that's kind of what it's there for.
It's like a sub.
Imagine
subtext.
Them kissing.
Sure, it's like a subtext, but like there are other characters on the way, and it is like, but I don't know. I thought the show was charming. I liked it a lot, actually.
It was fine. It just wasn't. It didn't.
No, it's not stellar. But like, if you're looking for like a low key slice of life drama that seems like it's written pretty well, like that's the one. I would say that Kono Oto Tomare is the one to look for. Like, it had the most solid writing and I don't think there's a whole lot of adolescent high school dramas this season. Like, I would definitely check that one out because it impressed me, and I'm not easy to impress with that sort of stuff. But like, they moved very quickly through a bunch of melodramatic things and then treated them pretty thoughtfully.
That was one thing, was by the end, I was like, well, what's left?
Well, that was just the inside.
Well, I'm going to join the Kodo Club. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's it.
But now we
good
have
movies.
We have like three or four. We have like three or four other kids to meet, and then we have to learn how they... Like, it was... Like, if Chihaya Furu is like sort of a shoujo-flavored, like, well-written club story, this felt like kind of... I don't think it's on the level of Chihaya Furu, especially not like aesthetically... Like, it looks pretty average.
So the final episode will be Magic Hour saying goodbye right before they graduate?
Yes, okay. Yeah. But that's okay. That's fine.
No, it's fine. Just because you can predict it exactly doesn't mean it's not good. I'm not saying it's not good. It's not really for me.
The first episode is surprisingly fast-paced. Like, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, a lot of very dramatic things happen to these two kids. And it's like, well, that's like a whole season's worth of drama, but it doesn't feel rushed. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm looking forward to having other melodramatic things happen in this otherwise, like... Ah, the soft, twinkly days of our high school Kodo Club show. You know.
Yeah. No, all right, you know? It just didn't... I was like, all right, yeah.
Yeah. It's firmly middling, but, like, you know, if you're looking for something a little more low-key this season, that's a nice one.
I did watch Fairy Gone. the fairy godmothers.
I thought that one was going to be more interesting.
Those P.O. Works originals are kind of turning out pretty bland, aren't they?
Well, they always have, but I was...
It's a little dark. It's a little steampunk. But it's sort of modern, but
P.A. Works...
Here's a big fantasy world, and we're going to tell a small story that's happened to a few characters within it, and it's going to be a bunch of world-building that we did, but that we're not going to show you. Mm-hmm. And here's they're all a little similar. They're all kind of plotted a little similar.
Well, I thought that was sort of a recent move for them, because P.A. Works...
I'm not saying it's a long trend, it's just this really reminded me of the same way Sirius the Eagle was.
It's a recent trend for sure, because usually I associate P.A. Works originals with, like, Iroduku and Glasslip, like, looking through a glass bead into summer, poorly constructed script that goes nowhere that's supposed to be a character drama but has no point. And so, like, that's what I associate with P.A. Works originals. Like, the big success they had outside that vein was Shirobako, and I think that was, a lot of that was, like, hiring the right people and who wrote what they knew.
Wasn't Olal in the Sea them?
Nagina, yeah, that was also them. I've never
seen
that.
That's, like,
one.
Their big crowning. They love that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've never seen that one.
It did better in Japan, I think, than it did.
But, like, this was, so the guy who wrote it apparently, so this is an anime original, but they hired the guy, in terms of series composition, they hired the guy who writes the light novels for Grimgar, Fantasy, and Ash.
Yeah.
Which I liked Grimgar, but Grimgar's strength is in its immersion. Like, the number one was, like, what's the best
simplicity.
Thing about...
Also simplicity.
Yes. Grimgar doesn't have a whole lot of world building, it doesn't have a lot of plotting, it is mostly kids sitting around in the dirt making barely enough money to eat. That's what Grimgar is. Fairygon is like, here's 12 million plot lines that you cannot possibly keep straight, right? And they just dump them on
you. Once upon a time, there was a war between two states. People would merge with things called fairies, and it would give them supernatural powers. The war ended, and now these people wander without any rules, like samurai in the era that we were talking about earlier.
But now steampunk.
And then this the main, steampunk, dark fantasy. And well, so...
There's like a Shinsengumi that
hunts them. That is also of them.
That is so, also of them. Yeah. And that's like our protagonist, who is unfortunately not interesting. She joins the group.
Yeah, no, it looks like Witch Hunter Robin a little bit to me.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Ergo Proxy a little bit.
Yeah, that early 2000s thing.
Unfortunately, like the thing that it disappointed me, like I love like fairies and monsters and that kind of like aesthetic. So I was excited about this, but then, like, the lore gobbledygook and plotline slurry kind of confused me. The characters were not immediately engaging. And then, like, the stake in the heart for me... I'm going to keep watching the show just to see what it's even about, because there's so much going on. But the stake in the heart for my excitement was seeing those fairies, seeing those monsters, and they are not great looking. It is, like, brown, blurry, low frame rate CG monster that doesn't really have personality... I was like, I'm, as a monster aficionado, I'm disappointed in the monsters in this monster show.
I watched Midnight Occult Civil Servants, which was okay, I guess. The animation was pretty ugly, I thought.
Yeah, it reminds me of A Centaur's Life. I'm like, oh, I like this idea, but...
I thought it was kind of pedestrian.
It's very...
It was neat, but... I guess kind of a neat idea. I don't know. I feel like that
it needs a hook.
We're
going to
investigate supernatural stuff in every episode. That's not much of a hook anymore. Like,
no,
you got to give me something a little bit more.
It doesn't have spectacle. It's just like the closest comparison I have is A Centaur's Life, where it's like if you want to watch a thing that has all these mythological creatures in it and talks about their place in society, that's just what you want, regardless of the poor production values and weird editing and like not very engaging.
Yeah.
Like if you just want that, like it is in this. It's just I wish it was
looks
exciting.
Kind of butt a lot of the time.
Yeah, I wish it was exciting, but it's not.
Main character has weird proportions in a lot of those shots.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Roby Hachi. That was cute.
You liked it? Oh, I hated it.
Did you hate it?
I hated it. I hated the way it looked.
Cute.
I hated the dialogue. I hated the.
It's a little try hard.
Fake. It is so. That's it. That's what bothered me about it. That's
why
I hate
really
it.
Try hard.
It's trying so hard, and it's trying so hard, and I'm like, you're so uncool.
I just like the color.
You're
palette.
So uncool, Roby Hachi.
It was
Hachi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was amused.
Yeah. I get it. I appreciate that it was going for something different. People were saying, oh, it's like Double Decker and Space Dandy. I was like, well, what this reminds me of is actually more Outlaw Star, and because the
Outlaw Star and like Road to Eldorado.
Yeah, because the production design is
space
reminiscent.
Dandy. It's just Space Dandy.
Well, no, it's like low rent.
I mean,
space
it looks
dandy.
Good, but
it was a little more throwbacky. Like the way the ships looked, and
it is
the,
a little more.
It felt more 90s. I was like, this looks like Outlaw Star. It does. And so I think maybe it was a coincidence, but like it has that sort of vibe. And I enjoy that. I'm like, oh, yay, adventure, excitement. But like it just feels so plastic. The characters like all their dialogue is really try hard and extreme, and it was like, oh, this is the word for it is annoying. It wasn't a bad show, but I was like, I'm irritated by these characters in this scenario. Like, it just, it's annoying to me.
I'll
that
give
was
it another
my
few
takeaway
episodes.
From it. Yeah,
that was all right.
Oh no, I will just because I'm like, what is this? But like, I was like, oh, why is this so irritating? I wish this was good. That's kind of how I felt about it.
One Punch Man season 2 seemed fine to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, because it's a different team. The animation is no longer special.
It's no longer special.
But it's fine. It's good. It looks like perfectly good television anime. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's probably going to get worse as it goes.
Sure, of course it will. So it's everything.
Yeah. But it
seemed fine to me. Mm-hmm. It seemed fine.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad. I think people are just mourning, oh, this used to be special. And there is also an argument that One Punch Man's material isn't good enough to carry a show without the spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't necessarily agree with that. I thought One Punch Man's material was good.
Either.
Yeah, I think Mob Psycho 100 has surpassed it at this point, but like it had a second season, so maybe the second season of One Punch Man, barring the fairly mediocre visuals, will have just as strong a story. I don't know. I'm excited to find out. But like I was all set up to be really, really, really disappointed in One Punch Man. And it's fine. I will continue to watch it. I'm happy it's back. I like seeing these characters again. It's a shame that it doesn't look special or cool, but like it doesn't look bad. So, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's a test, though. It's like, well, if this remains popular through this season, then it's sticking around. If it doesn't, that's it.
Yeah.
It's over. Mm-hmm. I watched Isekai Quartet because I'm familiar with all the properties involved.
Oh, your favorite brands.
My brands.
Brands.
Disney Tsum Tsum.
Disney Tsum Tsum. What was it? Like Isekai Justice League.
Yeah.
No. Oh, Isekai Teen Titans Go, basically.
Yeah, this is marketing.
Marketing.
I didn't think it was funny or anything.
There aren't any jokes in it, almost.
No, it's just, hey, it was just characters set up. Behaving in ways that you might think they would.
Yeah, it's just characters reminding you what their
with
character
some, like,
traits
shitty,
are.
With some, like, shitty, like, WarioWare animation.
Yeah. I would have been okay with this, or more interested. I would have been like, all right, it's empty marketing, but whatever, if there were jokes. But they're waiting till the second episode to even give you jokes. The most interesting thing I thought about it was like...
Well, we got a recap of Saga of Tanya the Evil.
Yeah. And here's what happens in this. Because, you see, Saga of Tanya the Evil is the least lucrative and popular of the four franchises in this. So in the first episode, they devote time to explaining the premise. You notice they didn't do that for Overlord or Konosuba. They didn't stop to explain to you what the premise of the show is because those shows are more popular. And for ReZero, they didn't even show up to the very end. And that's because ReZero is the most popular of those. So they're going to use that as the hook to get you to watch more. It's so, like, it's written on TI-83. It's an extremely calculated motherfucking show. But, yeah, it's a commercial, but I kind of laughed at how blatant it was.
If I were a fan of two or three of these shows and just wanted something to chuckle at,
yeah,
whatever.
Oh, no, right? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just like, oh, it's a commercial.
Yeah.
It's a commercial I'm watching. Though. Yeah. But it's perfectly fine. I was just mostly laughing at how blatant it is, I think.
The way that we do the preview guide, we have a group, sort of an email thread. And the first, generally, we need volunteers to, like, okay, this show is out. Who's available right now to write this up? And that happened to me on the helpful Fox Senko-san, which normally I would have not even turned on because I know this is not for me.
Not made for Zach.
But I had to write a synopsis of it, so I watched that. And there's a first-person sequence at the end of the episode where... She's like, you work so hard. I'm so proud of you. Let me show you how to brew some tea. And the camera, like, nods like it's you.
Yeah.
That's the kind of show it is.
That's what it's for.
There's a big picture of my face and, like, the no sign over it on the DVD.
Yeah. I mean, like, to its credit, Dogokobo has been making a lot of, like, pedo stuff recently. And this is not that. Like, you could take it in that direction, but... I will take this over what Dogokobo has been producing for the last couple seasons. So, like, I know it's a step up. Like, I'll take it. At least this can be kind of viewed innocently, or at least viewed as direct, wholesome pandering, I suppose.
Yeah, whatever.
So
she's going to pamper you.
She's going to pamper you. At least she's not a little girl. At least she's, like, not a little girl who's, like, oh, whoa, what's this at the bulge in your pants? Like, that's what the previous shows have been, so I'll take this, you know?
You're like, it's a step up from the garbage they were making before.
Essentially.
Okay, last thing I watched today, Sarah's on my, the new, if you couldn't fucking tell, it's the new Kunihiko Ikuhara show.
Who made this? Oh, I know.
I'm here with Jacob Chapman, you may know, who has opinions about the works
feelings about
of Kunihiko Ikuhara. Yeah.
I'll restrain myself.
So,
but, it was
I
great.
Bounced off Yuri Kuma when it first aired because I was like, all right, well, let me see your allegory when it's finished. Basically, like,
right,
I
yeah.
wasn't, it didn't grab me
in
quite.
The moment, yeah.
Eventually, I did get around to the whole thing and I totally loved Yuri Kuma.
Mm-hmm.
This one, because that happened with Yuri Kuma, I'm like, the first episode, I was kind of like, all right, well, what's your allegory? Like, it's a little bit more straightforward. But I feel like I kind of want the whole thing all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everyone else is going to have a million things to say about this. So I feel like I can just sit back and it's
absorb
all right.
It.
I don't have to have
well,
that
Well, then it'll get all
take.
Spoiled for you. You have to avoid certain corners
no,
of the
I'll
internet.
No, I'll watch it every week. I'm definitely going to watch the show. I mean, how could I not? I don't want to get spoiled or be told what it is before I see it.
Yeah,
like, it
yeah.
means this. All right, well, then I'm going to go in with that in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Yeah.
I mean, like, everyone's kind of, like, all these people on Twitter and everything on social media are like, oh, it's this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, I'm going to wait till the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, like, I do think thematically in a different Ikuhara show, it would have taken a lot longer to get to some of these explanations that we got kind of right away.
Yeah.
But not by much.
His episode counts have only gotten shorter. He went from 39 to 26. To 12 to now 11. So,
yeah.
You know, he's just got to keep compressing his ideas.
Yeah, I think it's going to probably get pretty hard to follow. It feels
you
like
think
it's
so?
Yeah, I feel
I
like...
think it's actually going to be pretty straightforward, but that's only only if that's a huge asterisk. A huge asterisk. If you've seen the show, you know why that's
making
me laugh.
You're saying it's a big but.
There's a big but. Okay, sorry. So there's a big but surrounding the...
Okay, but what were you
going to
say,
follow.
Though? Because that...
I think it's easy to follow, but there's a big but if you've already seen his previous work, if you've already
yeah,
seen...
Yeah, you're already in allegory
if you're
mode.
Already... Well, you don't even have to be especially good at interpreting Ikuhara. I think you just have to have seen all of his stuff before. Then this will be like, oh, he's reusing a lot of these symbols, and this is pretty straightforward. A lot of his... If you've never
and
seen
he's
Ikuhara...
he's added a lot of ass play.
There's there was an interview before this came out, I think, with the production designer. It was somebody who was, like, in charge of layout or color or something like that. He was like, I don't know how this is going to get on the air. And people say that and maybe feels like an exaggeration. But no, like, the amount of anal juice in this first episode, like I got a little sick watching it. It is the most visually explicit thing that Ikuhara has ever made. There's the anal birthing. There's anal beads made out of middle school boys who have turned into kappa. There's farts.
This show is kind of more than I expected. What is it about, would you say?
It's
not
too
thematic,
early.
Just like...
It's too early. Okay, so...
There's these boys.
Mm-hmm.
There's an idol. There's
so,
a kappa.
Amazon.com, to start with. Amazon.com controls the district of Asakusa. Do you pronounce it Asakusa or Asakusa? That's a good question, I think.
Asakusa.
Yeah, well, so they control the district of Asakusa. Everybody is always buying and shipping and moving packages. And there's a boy who is obsessed with an idol named Sara Azuma, who represents Asakusa and is like, here's your horoscope and here's your fortune for the day. She's just a regional idol, right? And he's in love with her, and he has a best friend who he's growing more distant from, and a stranger that he meets and accidentally destroys a kappa statue with. And then the kappa comes to life and turns all three of the boys I mentioned into kappa by sucking their souls out of their buttholes, as kappa are wont to do in folklore. And in order to get their souls back, they must take them from the zombified bodies of people who are shipping their desires away in the Amazon boxes to a pair of otters who are also cops who use those confiscated desires to imprison them. So that's what it's literally about, if that was your question.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
We'll
something,
find out.
Something related to butt sex and gender. That is all I got. You know, I mean, I have thoughts, but I will write about them this season in my episode reviews. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously the most interesting thing of the season. I'm happy it's there, but I feel like I'm just going to sit back and watch the discourse
right.
rather than fully participate myself. Mm. I feel like I'm... It's nice that something like this can still exist and that there's still money for it and it can still get produced and then you can just sit back and watch the conversation around it because it's what it's made for.
Yeah.
Is to be, you know, taken apart and reacted to and yeah. It's cool. It looks great. It looks fucking great.
It's Mappa. It's the best animation that Ikuhara has ever gotten on a project.
And it's like shit being squozing out of anal cavities
He's like, yay, at long last, Sakuga. Now I'm going to have you guys draw explicit anal
slime.
Leakage. Yeah. It's so gross.
It's fucking disgusting.
It's great.
But that's the point. Like, if you're like, I understand if it's like, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
I understand that, but like, it's art.
Yep.
You get to sit there and experience it.
Well, I just want to say right now, this is probably like a year ago in podcasts, but like I sat on this podcast back when Sarazan Mind was first announced and all we had was just like 20 seconds of blank art and some nebulous voiceover. I said, it's going to be about trans stuff. And everyone laughed at me. They didn't actually. People were like, oh, that's interesting. No one actually laughed at me at all. But people were like, it's too soon to say that. Well, guess what,
but if
motherfucker?
You frame it as though everyone
episode
laughed at you.
Episode one. It's about trans stuff. I fucking called it. That's all I have to say.
Then you have an empty, like, crickets, and someone says, well,
no one cared.
No one doubted you.
Yeah, but
it's like that. It's like the I'm just a girl fight scene in Captain Marvel. Her gender was never
right.
Her gender was never an obstacle. So your I told you so is unwarranted.
Yeah. Oh mercy.
Okay, so you're probably going to hear a lot more about that show on this show and on the site and et cetera and so on. That's what I watched. I'm going to keep up with Fruits Basket, Demon Slayer, Sarazan Mai, and a few episodes of Robohachi, and probably One Punch Man. So yeah, I got plenty to watch.
Yeah.
Is there anything I didn't see that you think is worth saying something about?
I don't understand why they remade You Know, which is
this is like an old visual
it's
novel.
It's an eroge from like the 90s that like is a contemporary.
Super VGA comes on a CD-ROM.
On a floppy disk. It's a contemporary to Evangelion. That's how old it is. Like it references the same. It references the Beast Who Cried Eye at the Heart of the World. And people are like, is that an Eva reference? And they're like, no, this predates Eva. It is a reference to the whatever novel.
Harlan Ellison.
Yeah, Harlan Ellison. That's it. So yeah. I just think it's really weird that they, because it looks like, but it is very dated material. It has not been updated. It is not particularly inspired presentation. I don't understand why they made it. At least I wasn't sure why they made it until I heard, like, apparently it's being released for the Switch. And it's like, is that
the premise
it?
To me seemed like boy discovers that he's the same boring, horny asshole in a million different parallel dimensions.
That's the actual...
There's a million parallel dimensions, my boy, and you're the same horny piece of shit in all of them.
Yeah, that's the secret log line that actually describes what the show is really about, I think. But no, I just thought it was weird that this existed. I'm like, why bother bringing this back? Like, this old thing, and then it's not even like... It's not like they're adapting something and giving it a modern presentation. It looks like a co-production no one cares
Sarazan
about.
Looks like butt.
Yeah, no, Sarazan Mai looks like a beautiful, detailed, very moist butt. And this is,
God.
You know, yeah,
that'll
it's
be the
true.
Title of the podcast this week. Ancast, a beautiful, detailed, comma, very moist butt.
Oh no, yeah, but I don't understand why that thing even exists, but it sure does. And that's about it.
Okay, did you watch After Lost?
Yeah, that's another one.
Based
I would
on
say
a mobile game.
That is the most based on a mobile game thing to ever based on a mobile game. That's pretty much all there is to say about it. It sounds, looks, and feels like it's based on a mobile game.
It's such a small season. Did you watch this Namu Amida Butsu thing? Where it's like
I did.
Bishonen Buddhas?
It's just Token Ranbu, but with it's somebody's
Token Rambu, but with Buddhist figures.
Yeah, it's somebody's. Oh, Token Rambu is huge. Here's our version of it. It's like the Kroger brand Token Rambu.
Token character designs on parade.
Yes, exactly.
Do you like this one or this one? Maybe this one.
There's 27 to choose from.
I don't know why they're talking like that. Wise Man's Grandchild.
The worst title.
I almost died in a car accident, but it turns out I'm actually the number one most powerful wizard. Right.
No, he fully died. He got hit by the truck.
I died in a car accident, but I was reborn in another world as an extremely powerful wizard.
Yeah. Well, and why is the title... Why didn't they choose any other English title?
The Wise Man's... Not even...
It's not even the... It's just Wiseman's Grandchild.
It's just Wiseman's Grandchild.
Yeah.
Is it about a man named Wiseman, or is it about a wise man's grandchild?
Yeah.
But he's the grandchild of, like, superpowered sorcerer guy, so the mystery is solved in the first episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand in Japanese...
You should have called it Kid Wizard.
Yeah, I understand in Japanese why it might be a little less, like,
perhaps Wiz
dumb.
Kid.
Yeah, because I think in Japanese, like, the title is a little more, like... The old man in an RPG's grandchild. Like, it conveys that a little more readily, so you understand what the hook is. But you don't get it with this English title.
They should have called it Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Is that a... I don't know Harry Potter. I don't believe...
Oh, it's about a boy wizard.
I suppose so.
Instead of Wise Man's Grandchild.
Yeah. But anyway, it's basically like a pleasant enough isekai with no hook. So it's like, oh, nothing about this is bad. Problem is, nothing about it is good. So it's like the most, like, middling, nothing about this offends me nor intrigues me thing I've ever seen.
There are also, like, a million shorts. Our shorts roundups go up by the time you get this show. Probably they'll be up on the site. Mm. Was there anything that stood out to you?
Nope. Just that isekai thing. Everything else is either softcore, like, etchy softcore, or... negligible, like, wasn't interesting. Like, if there was an interesting short that I'm forgetting about, I apologize, but, like, there's a lot of softcore. Ever since, like, about a year ago, there started being, like, TV hentai, like, edited for TV hentai, mostly produced, like, by Magic Bus, and there's another studio. They produced, like, My Bride is the Student Council President, or some shit like that. Like, that started, like, about a year or two ago, and my bride is a student council president I know sold a lot. Apparently that wasn't very successful. So now we're seeing an influx of, it's not hentai, but almost kind of sort of porn TV anime 12 minutes. We're seeing a lot of that now, because apparently that one was a success, so now everybody's getting in on it. So look forward to a bunch of, like, barely licensed by High Dive, non-porny edgy things.
All right, well, great.
Oh, boy. It's like, we're cutting back, we're cutting down on animation production. Oh, good. Here's a bunch of porn. Oh, no.
But not really.
Here's all this pornography.
All right, man, that'll do it.
All right.
Thanks for coming around. Yeah. Look forward to the new season.
Yes.
Okay, that's our show. Thanks to Jacob for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. The band is The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, all those things. Leave us comments and reviews. We'd really appreciate it. It helps the show a lot. Thanks, and we'll see you all next week.